I want to echo what Samuel was saying a while ago, that it's a great opportunity that we have, that our circumstances ended up moving us to worship the Lord here in this building. We're supposed to have our worship on the grounds, but the inclement weather that we have, I mean, who can understand Texas weather, right? It can get it together, force us to be here. But, you know, I love how BJ put it together. We had a plan, God have a bigger plans, because now we get the chance to enjoy and vision what will happen here as we finish the remodeling of this building and how we're going to see lives coming to know the Lord in these facilities as well. So never underestimate what the Lord can do. Even with circumstances that are not our plans, God has bigger plans. Speaking about circumstances, if there is one thing that everybody has in common, men or women, rich or poor, it doesn't matter what ethnicity you are coming from, we all have one thing in common, and that thing that we have in common is that we all face difficult times and circumstances that are not necessarily good. I think the level for all humanity is that we all understand suffering one way or the other. So we will encounter obstacles in life. That's not if, that is when. Because we know that we'll face hard times and difficult situations. The question is not about when or if, the question is what is exactly what we're going to do when we face those circumstances. How are we going to respond when we're facing those circumstances in life? There are times when something happened to us and we say, that's not fair. Why is this happening to me? Like the poet who was complaining says, that's not fair. If a banker is reciting a bad poem, nobody cares. But if a poet write a bad check, everybody cares. That's not fair. And that's true. Many times we wonder, what is this happening to me? Perhaps you feel stuck in the same job for years now. Other people get promotions or leave for a better job in a different company. You have been working hard. You do good work. You do your best. But a new person comes and joins the company, and guess what? That person gets promoted, not you. And you might think, that's not fair. Why is this happening to me? You may finish school. You have a degree. You even have a pretty good job making a lot of money. You're ready to settle. You're ready to get married. Your friends are inviting you to their engagement parties. Some of your friends are getting married. And you cannot find someone yet. You have been going out with a lot of bad apples, and you ended up alone, still going with your family from vacation. And you say, why, Lord? I am a pretty good catch. What is going on with me? That's not fair. You probably had difficulties conceiving a child. Other people are getting married and seems to have every opportunity. They have 4, 5, easy for them to make another baby. Some other complain that, I'm pregnant again. And you know that you can be a good parent, but it hasn't come your time yet. And you ask the Lord, Lord, why? That's not fair. Whatever you're going through today, whatever circumstances you are facing, let me tell you one thing. Let me remind you that there is hope. There is hope. God can take the obstacles in your life and transform them into opportunities for His greatness. God can take the obstacles in your life and transform into opportunities for His greatness. He can take that apparent stumbling block and turn it into a stepping stone. Yes, he can make that what was intended for trouble leads to triumph if you just wait and see what he's about to do. Paul, the apostle, shares from personal experience that your perspective in times of hardship makes the difference in how you respond to the circumstances in life. More than anything else, Paul's desire as a missionary was to go to Rome. From all the places, he wanted to go to Rome. He wanted to share the gospel. He wanted to tell others about Christ in that particular city to reach millions. It was an important place. Paul wanted to go to Rome as a preacher, but instead, he ended up going there as a prisoner. That's how he got to know Rome. By the time Paul was writing the letter to the Philippians, he has been in house arrest in Rome for 2 years. 2 years. 2 years waiting just to be in front of Caesar, the emperor, to present his case. But that doesn't mean that that was the only time that he was suffering. There were so many things in the previous 5 years that he was going after circumstance, after circumstances, difficulties. He was able to receive visitors in the house, yes, but the chains never left his wrist. Every 6 hours, a new Roman guard took the other end of the chain that was on one of his wrists and God was giving company to Paul. He couldn't move unless the other guard moved with him. I cannot imagine the poor man going to the bathroom and just holding the other guard with him. Or sleeping, trying to not sleep on that chain. Not only that, he was living in a house. He needed to find the money to pay the rent. Otherwise, if he didn't have the money, he has to be staying in a dungeon. But because some people were generous with him and provide the money, he was able to pay the rent. To add insult to the injury, Paul wasn't sure of what happened when he finally did get the chance to be in front of the emperor. An emperor, Nero, in this case Nero, he was crazy. Nero might listen to the Jewish people and the accusations that they have against Paul because he was preaching about the Christ. And he probably was thinking, well, if one man's death will make these Jews happy and keep the peace in the country, so be it. Paul knew his life was at risk. And do you think he thought, Lord, this is not fair. Why this is happening to me? I give my life to you. I've been serving you all this time. Why this is happening to me? But no. He could talk about that. He has a lot of reasons to feel that way, but he didn't. On the contrary, he was not thinking that way. Because he allowed God to turn his obstacles into opportunities for his greatness. During those 2 years on house arrest in Rome, a totally different thought came to his mind. A thought which brought a lot of joy to his heart and a grin to his face. And he wanted to tell his friends in the small city of Philippi that what was happening to him was actually being used by God to advance the gospel. And he looked over the past 5 years, and Paul didn't say, oh, it's not fair. No, he said, this, what is happening to me, is accomplishing great things for the Lord. It's furthering the gospel in the world. As we reflect in that sentence, we can discover that we can be the best witness in the worst of our circumstances. Yes, you can have your best witness in your worst, in the circumstances, if you understand two things that I'm going to share with you this morning. God can take the obstacles in your life and transform it into opportunities for his greatness. So open your Bibles in Philippians chapter 1. We're going to study the first verses 12 to 18. Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 to 18. And while you're looking at it, let me tell you one thing. When can God take our obstacles and turn it into an opportunity? There are two things, two attitudes that we need to make sure that we are adopting in our lives to see how God can open up a door of opportunity when we face insuperable circumstances. God can take the obstacles in our lives and transform it into opportunities. First, when we see God's plan instead of the problem. When we see God's plan instead of the problem. Paul is going to challenge us to view the adversity that we go through sometimes, to see it in light of the kingdom contribution that they make. In doing so, he insists that adversity is not an obstacle for the gospel. Rather, it's an opportunity to advance it. Listen to what he says in verse 12. And I want you to know, my dear brothers and sisters, that everything that has happened to me has helped to spread the good news. Can you imagine that? Being in prison will cause anybody, you and me included, anybody to be bitter, wanting to give up, to be remorse, to be saying, it's not fair. But Paul saw it as one more opportunity to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. And the word spread is an interesting term because in Greek, it's a command, it's a military command that actually means to cut before. In military terms, that means that group of people, that group of pioneers, troops that are going in before the troops are coming to open a way for the troops to get into a city or a region. So Paul believed that his circumstances paved the way for the advance of the message of Christ among those in Rome. It happened two things, two great opportunities. The first opportunity is to share the gospel with new audience every time. In verse 12, we read, as I want you to know, my dear brothers and sisters, that everything that has happened to me has helped to spread the gospel news, the good news. For everyone here, including the whole palace guard, knows that I am in chains because of Christ. And because of my imprisonment, most of the believers here have gained confidence and boldly speak God's message without fear. Paul was chained 24/7, 24 hours, 7 days a week to a Roman soldier. Every single day for 2 years. The chain was about 18 inches long. So the chain was never removed from his prisoner. He was in custody. So making escape something impossible. He not even can ask for help to El Chapo from Mexico to help him to escape. The guards would change their duty every 6 hours. So that meant that every day Paul has four different men chained to him. Every single day. What do you think Paul did during that time? Talking about the news? Asking them if they can check for him the Instagram page? No. On the contrary, Paul was sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with every soldier who was chained to him. He saw his circumstances as a wonderful opportunity to share the truth of Christ with someone who can listen for 6 hours. Hey, Marcus, I'm glad that you're back. How are you doing? How's Claudia, your wife? I've been praying for her. You told me the last time that she hasn't slept for a couple of days. I hope she's feeling better. Remember, Marcus, that I told you? What is the reason why I'm here? It's because of Christ. And remember that I told you who Christ is? If you don't remember, let me tell you again. And he shared the gospel over and over and over. Four different people every single day. So he was not complaining. He was not in prison saying, Lord, at what time? Complaining for the food in the prison, on the house? Nope. He was busy. He was taking opportunities, even more opportunities than he was actually traveling, trying to share the gospel in other cities. He has a captive audience there. No, Paul was not chained to a soldier. The soldier was chained to Paul, which is a different thing. And look at this group of people. They were influential people. The palace guard, the imperial guard, in other words, it's like the Secret Service combined with the West Point cadets, serving the emperor because they were in the palace and Paul was waiting to be before the emperor. That's the guard that was taking care of him. People who were influential. There was a selected group, an elite in the troops. When they finished their 12 years of service, some of these men might end up becoming senators or people with great influence in the politics of Rome. So he was not just sharing the gospel with any unknown person, but he was sharing the gospel with those who eventually will become important people in the city and will help him to continue with that. In Philippians 4:22, at the end of the letter, we read more about these people and others. When Paul is saying, as closing this letter, saying, and the rest of God's people send you greetings too, especially those in Caesar's household. This is why Paul could say that this situation that he's going through has turned out for greater progress of the gospel. This is why the message of Jesus Christ has spread out throughout the whole palace guard, around 10,000 elite Roman soldiers in 2 years. This is why many of those trusting in Christ could share their faith with others. They could see the impact of one person and the expansion of God's kingdom. Paul knew that God had him in prison for a reason, for a purpose. And he was not bitter. He was better. He was taking every opportunity that he had to communicate with others the words, the news that changed his life. And he, in turn, was changing the life of others through the gospel of Jesus Christ. One day I was going in Guatemala visiting one of the markets where they do a lot of handcraft, it's amazing, the colors of the clothes that the people have made. And one particular object caught my attention. There was a little piece of cloth, a tapestry. And the way that I was walking behind the store, and I saw it caught my attention because it was a lot of colors, a lot of knots and colors, different strings of colors. It looks beautiful, but I couldn't understand. I couldn't see anything. It was just strings in knots everywhere, right? But it was beautiful because all the colors. It was when I entered into the store and I saw it in the other side that I saw that was embroidered the name of Jesus. It was beautiful. But you look on the back, everything was confused. Beautiful, colorful, but confused. But you look for the right side and you see the name of Jesus. You know what? On this side of the eternity, for all of us, whatever is going on in the world is confusing. We might enjoy it sometimes. We might say, okay, that's nice. But we don't have the whole picture. When we are on the side of heaven, on the side of eternity, then you can say that every single circumstance that happened in this world makes sense for God. That's why we need to see his plan instead of trying to see our problems. If we see our problems, then we're going to miss God's plan. So you need to start telling your problems, I have a great God. And then you will see what real size that problem is in comparison with the great God that we have. When things don't go your way, what do you focus on? When problems arise in your life, do you panic? Do you look for any way that you can resolve the problems? So instead of feeling sorry for yourself, Paul saw past the problem and focused on God's plan and took advantage of it. So he got the opportunity to see influential people coming to know God, to know Jesus Christ. But also, he has another opportunity. There was an opportunity for believers to grow in their confidence in Christ. Look at verse 14. And because of my imprisonment, most of the believers here have gained confidence and boldly speak God's message without fear. They saw Paul is in prison. Instead of thinking, oh, you see, I better shut up. I better not share anything. I don't want to end up like him. No, they saw him. Look at him. He's happy. He's writing this wonderful letter, and the word joy is everywhere. And he's in prison. And I'm here. I'm free. And I'm afraid. Something is wrong with the way that I see things. And they were curious. And they were actually visiting Paul and being encouraged by him. Imagine with a chain, with a soldier, limited in many ways. And I was greeting everybody and sharing with them and encouraging them. He was so happy with the church in Philippi for many reasons. Because of their faith, but also because of their generosity. They were the ones who were contributing for him to pay the rent of the house where he was staying. Because he didn't even have the money for that. He couldn't work. He was in prison. So he knew God was in control of every circumstance. Large number of believers became bold for Christ when they saw how God spread the gospel through Paul. Not only other Jews, but Romans, Gentiles, changing their lives, changing the way they were treating the Jew residents. Paul's confinement was doing what his circumstances outside the prison could never do, because he trusted in God's plan. When we speak fearlessly for Christ or live faithfully for him during difficult situations like the ones that we're living now, we encourage others to do the same. So I will encourage you, stop watching the news. Start open more your Bibles. Let others see you the way that you're changing. Because you're not noticing, but every time that you're watching the news, and I'm a witness of that because I do the same. You can see my face, my uncertainty everywhere. But when I look into the scriptures, then I find confidence that God is in control in the midst of everything that is going on. The question is not, is what happening to me fair? The question has to be, is what happening to me accomplish something for God? Is what happening to me being useful to God in some ways? Can I say honestly to the Lord in the midst of my problems and circumstances, it's all about you, Lord. It's all about you, not about me. That's the first thing that Paul has in mind when he writes that everything has happened to me has helped to spread the good news. The second thing, is when God can take care of the obstacles in our lives and transform them into opportunities when we value God's kingdom instead of our reputation. When we value more God's kingdom instead of our reputation. Paul is in prison in a very difficult situation, and he was also being attacked by other believers as well. In fact, many were proclaiming Christ. Yes, there were false teachers spreading rumors about him, but these were believers, people who were sharing the right gospel, but they were kind of jealous about Paul because he became so popular. And they were saying wrong things about him. But what was his response? Shame on them. Lord, take them. or I send them to you. No, he didn't say that. He saw his obstacle as an opportunity to choose joy, happiness. Look at verse 15. It's true that some are preaching out of jealousy and rivalry, but others preach about Christ with pure motives. They preach because they love me, for they know I have been appointed to defend the good news. Those others do not have pure motives as they preach about Christ. They preach with selfish ambition, not sincerely, intending to make my chains more painful to me. He knew. He knew the right motive. He knew their intentions. But he chose joy. He didn't retaliate. He didn't do something in response to in anger. Instead, he said that he was happy that the truth of Christ was preached everywhere, even if it was not done with the right motives. You see, Paul's aim was to glorify Christ no matter what. That was the number one goal that he has in mind. His critics aim to promote something false about him. Criticism. How many of you like criticism? I thought so. We don't enjoy it. But if you are a Christian, you will be criticized. If you are a leader, because you are, leader is influence, and you are making an influence in somebody else's life, even if it's a dog or a cat, you are making, a cat not necessarily, a dog, you're making an influence. I'm a cat person, I'm telling you. I have the evidence. Cats have owners. Dogs have owners. Cats have servants. Staff. Anyhow. Who in here likes to be criticized? Nobody likes. No one enjoys to be laughed at. But Paul was willing to sacrifice his own reputation for the growth of the kingdom of God. These people were preaching Christ. They were jealous of him. They did it with a purpose and an evil intention. In other words, they were jealous of Paul and the influence that he was having and the success that he was enjoying. And they wanted to look better than him. They wanted to opaque him, to some kind of make him pale. Yes, they were preaching Christ, but not for the right motives. Oh, this is so common today. We have somebody who church has been successful and a lot of people going to listen to that person, and we have a lot of suspicious. They're probably teaching a different gospel. They're probably teaching prosperity gospel. They're probably doing this and that. Oh, they're probably doing these special things. And we've never been there. We just make the arguments. And we love conspiracy theories, don't we? Even in Christian circles. Something must be wrong. The pastor is dressing that way. He looks more like a punk, like a real pastor. Something is wrong with that church. And we raise a lot of suspicions. This is a huge problem in our churches today. We're so concerned about what others are doing, and we're less concerned of what God is doing. Paul didn't care about the attacks of these people. Look what he said in verse 18. But that doesn't matter. Where the motive is false or genuine, the message about Christ is being preached either way. So I rejoice, and I will continue to rejoice. So Paul can excuse those attitudes because he was consumed with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Ultimately, he is not concerned with his own reputation. He was more concerned for God's kingdom to advance. Not many of you know that my previous position, my previous job, was to be the voice in Spanish of a well-known pastor around the world. His name is Chuck Swindoll. For 15 years, I was translating his messages and recorded and sending it to radios everywhere, from Canada to the Land of Fire, from Spain to other places who speak Spanish. And it was amazing. I mean, my name was being known all over the world, except for this triangle between Houston, Dallas, and Austin. which for some strange reason they don't have radio ministry, Christian radio ministry. But you know what? It was a great position. It was a lot of envy. Many pastors that I met were telling me, oh, I envy you. And they usually said, I envy you with a good envy. I don't know if I translate correctly. Tengo envidia de la buena. I got a good envy. Like that was a good envy and bad envy. Because you are what I would love to be one day. And I was there. And it was a blessing, of course. But it's not all. I'm telling you. I was miserable in many ways. Because my job was consisting of reading, translating, going to the studio, and recording. Never get the chance to see people face to face or doing discipleship. And I'm a pastor not because I studied to become a pastor. I'm a pastor because he gave me a gift in my heart to become a pastor. And a pastor needs to be with a sheep. At the end of the day, I'm not a pastor. I'm another sheep trying to lead other sheep. And that's what I love the most. And yes, I was doing great things and it was successful and I was traveling all over the Spanish-speaking world. But that was not satisfying. And believe it or not, I'm not just walking on petals of roses right now, but I'm enjoying the fact that I'm in front of many of you. Because what I love to do is to tell others how great Jesus is. That's what I love to. I would like to say, like Paul says in Philippians 3, I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. All kinds of issues cry for my attention. All kinds of issues cry for your attention as well. Things are happening, situations. We see a lot of growth in abortion rates, in pornography, even among Christians. Media bias, economic injustice, racial discrimination, classism, sexism, and all the isms that you can imagine, to name a few. Those things are important. But you know what is the greatest problem that we're facing as a church today? That we are neglecting the gospel. It has been marginalized. It has been put aside. We care for these issues, but we're talking less and less about the important issues, which is let Christ known to our neighbors, to our family, to our community. So this has been happening in the Protestant church for years. But when the gospel is preached by gospel-focused people, God transforms the culture. That's the only reason why Bryan College Station will be transformed, because you and me together are putting God first and the problem second. Life revolves around preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ to the lost and dying world. And many times we need to, again, preach the gospel to those who think they are believers as well. Undoubtedly, through this slander, Paul was not concerned. He said, I keep going. I'm happy the Lord brought me here to this prison, and I'm happy enjoying the gospel with them. Because it's not about me, Lord. It's all about you. As I'm concluding, are you contented with the faith and proclaim Christ, you can experience joy. It has been said this, if we see Jesus in our circumstances, then we will see our circumstances in Jesus. Do you believe that? Paul is a witness of that. He actually lived this. Paul is writing this letter from a Roman prison. Furthermore, Paul's other letters written in a prison can be similar in the content. The gospel is number one. Jesus' kingdom is number one. So we need to start focusing on him and his good news instead of the circumstances that we have. It doesn't mean that our circumstances will disappear. It doesn't mean that they're going to be in the proper place. So, do you feel like you are unjustly stuck in the same job, unable to change or get promoted? It's possible that the reason that you haven't been promoted and you are there is because you are starting a discussion with a coworker and you start sharing about Jesus Christ. And there was a great opportunity for that person to listen to you. You never know if that person decided one day to go to church, taking his family. And in that worship service, listening, probably a missionary telling the great work that God is doing in Africa or in the Middle East. And that person might decide to go to the mission field, take his family, and many others can become to know God. Just because you decided not to focus on your circumstances, but to focus on Christ. You probably are not married, and you're still going on vacation with your own parents. That's okay. You know what? When the vacation is over, you might have a few days. Maybe you can take that time and go to a youth camp. And you can be a counselor in the youth camp. And then you can start talking to kids there. And then you can share how the Lord is great and doing great things in your life. And you can make an impact on that kid. And that kid will change his life. Come back home. Share the gospel with his own family. Maybe marry somebody who is also a believer. And they can establish a Christian ministry. Yes, many people would like to become Billy Grahams. I would like to become the one who shared Billy Graham the gospel. And one of the reasons why I was happy to come to Bryan College Station is because I know the impact that churches like Grace are doing with the students of the University of Texas A&M. Great opportunity for some of those students to become instruments of God's hand into the world. And I want to be one of those who communicate. I don't want to become big. I want them to become known. And I want God to become big. Your difficulty is probably because you haven't conceived a child. Maybe that difficulty is leading you to consider the possibility to foster care or to adopt and become a spiritual parent, an adoptive parent. I don't know. Might be the situation. I'm telling you that adopting our son, Asher, 4 years ago now, it has been the best decision, but the most difficult one that we have ever made. We didn't decide to adopt Asher because we were facing infertility issues. Adoption was always plan A, regardless of how many kids the Lord decided to give us or not. It was when we were conceiving that we had to slow the process, but at the end of the day, we carried through. And every single day, every opportunity, and we have a little sign in our son's room that says, Phil Samuel 128, for this child, I've been praying. And I had to read that many times because sometimes I'm frustrated and say, for this child, I'm praying. And my son knows that verse in English and in Spanish, and he reminded me, Daddy, por este niño he orado. As a reminder, yes, I've been praying for you, son. I don't know what the Lord will do with that little boy. But I will make my aim in life, my mission in life, to model, to live, and to share the gospel news to that little boy. Whatever God can do. Anything can happen if we put aside our circumstances and let God use our obstacles to become opportunities for his greatness. Are you ready? Yeah. Heavenly Father, as we come to you today, we want to honor you. We want to worship you. We want to tell you, Father, that for many, many years we have been concerned, preoccupied about our circumstances. And many times we're missing the point. We don't understand, Father, that it's not about us. It's about you. It's about your kingdom. It's about your glory. It's about your gospel. How important it is to understand that when our joy consumes us, has leaked into our lives, that joy that characterized Paul's life can be ours as well. If we learn, Father, to let you change our circumstances, our obstacles, into opportunities for your greatness. Thank you for reminding us, Father, that it's as simple as that, to diminish yourself and to increase your Son, Jesus Christ, in our lives. So everything that happened to us, we understand that happens for a reason. And that reason might be so your kingdom can be advanced and your gospel can go further. Help us to remind us of that important truth this morning. And as we sing today, Father, may this song to be the foundation of our life. May these words to be, Father, the reality that is in His foundation, Christ's foundation, that we are on a solid rock and we are stable. It's in Christ that we pray. And everybody says, Amen.